Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and the CAM Podcast is brought to you by O'Neill's Classic Archery. And with us today, we have, fresh off her first ever pro class ASA win, Cassidy Cox. Cassidy, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Has that sunk in yet? Pro class ASA win.
Yeah, I think it's starting to sink in.
So
it took a few days.
Because Paige had a 7 tournament streak, you're actually only the second woman ever to win in women's known pro.
Yeah, I guess I didn't actually realize that until I had seen someone post it on Facebook. And yeah, that is pretty cool to think about.
Yeah. So you and Paige are friends. You know, she was right there, gave you a big hug when you won that. Tell people what that's like. Some people, you know, don't understand that Paige actually appreciates when she gets beat. She doesn't want to get beat, but she knows how hard you work. Talk about that dynamic a little bit, about what it's like competing with Paige, but yet she's happy when you win.
Yeah, I mean, all of the girls are so supportive on the course, and a lot of us shoot not only ASAs together, but we shoot, you know, USATs and indoor and stuff like that. So we all see what each other is capable of. And yeah, Paige and I are really good friends. And so I think she's always happy for me when I have success, just because that's how friends should be. And I'm always happy for her when she has success.
Yeah.
So it's always nice just to shoot with a group of people that are so supportive of each other.
Right. Now, talk us through, what was that last arrow like? So you just had to hit a 10, you know, not necessarily the most difficult thing out there, but you had to hit it. What was that last arrow like?
So before I shot the last arrow, I had it in my head that I had to hit a 12 to win. So I was like fully preparing myself to go up there and hit the 12, you know, and I was all ready for that. And then whenever the announcer said that I needed a 10 to win, and so then Darren was holding my umbrella and he told me, just aim center 10 and you'll be good. And I was like, oh, center 10, I can do that. That's easy. Like, I did that a bunch of times this weekend, you know? So it was a little bit of a relief when I found out I just had to hit a 10.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I guess if you're mentally preparing for 12, hearing you're going from this to that is like, ah, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
I looked up some stats, and so 2020, it looks like, was your first year ASA in K45. And then obviously the women's known pro came into existence last year, and you shot that as well. You made a couple of shoot downs, but I don't believe any podiums last year.
No, I finished 4th place in all the shoot downs I was in.
Gotcha. All right. You're from New Mexico. What part of New Mexico?
I live in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Okay. I saw there's a New Mexico ASA Federation, but is ASA big in New Mexico?
No, not really. The guy that runs the New Mexico ASA Federation is working really hard to get it bigger, and it has grown over the years. So that's good to see that improvement. But no, it's not as big as it is in some other states.
Yeah, yeah. So what is it about that game that you were like, hey, this is something I want to work on? We'll talk about your USA Archery, World Archery in a second, but why go this route?
I have more fun shooting ASAs. Huh. I feel like they're a little bit more relaxed, but at the same time, like, I don't feel like I get as nervous because I have so many things to be worrying about. I can't really worry about, you know, my nerves or pressure or anything like that, because I'm trying to make sure that I range the target and I set my sight right and I set it every time. And I, you know, am paying attention to like shadows and where the other arrows are and stuff like that. So there's so many things that I need to be focusing on in ASA that I don't really feel like I get as nervous or stressed as I do in other tournaments.
Yeah. You're not standing on that 50 meter line, yeah, just shooting 6 arrows.
Yeah.
Well, so as you're talking about all the things you have to worry about, let's talk about this past weekend in particular, because on Friday you had even more to worry about. It was pouring down rain, awful, awful conditions, but yet you were able to keep it together. What was working for you in that nasty rain Friday?
On Friday, I think I shot a string of shorter targets before the rain started. So I picked up quite a few points that way. But then when the rain started, I was just, you know, trying to keep it together and aim for the 10 on the short ones. I would aim for the 12. I started adding half a yard right once the rain started, because I know, like, I always hit low, and every time it rains, I won't add yardage, but then I hit even lower. So I was like, I've learned my lesson. I'll just start adding yardage right away. And of course I was shooting my skinny arrows, so those are faster and I didn't have to add as much. So that helped me a lot.
Right.
Yeah. And I said this in the interview we did over the weekend, but I think I was so focused on keeping my bow dry and keeping myself dry and, you know, adding the right yardage and stuff like that, that I wasn't really focused on my score.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And do you, I don't know this, but do you always shoot, you know, skinny arrows we're talking about? I'm guessing you're talking about X10s you were shooting. Do you always shoot them? Go ahead.
I was shooting X Impacts.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Eagle.
I mean, I don't always shoot those for 3D. No.
Gotcha. Had you brought them out because of the rain?
No, it wasn't because of the rain. I actually didn't know it was going to rain like that. I just decided to shoot them because I had them tuned to my bow, because I'm getting ready for Arizona Cup and I didn't really feel like switching, but also I felt like I was grouping a little bit better with those and they fly faster for me. So gotcha. Yeah, that was my reasoning.
Yeah. So, Cassidy, you're a smaller archer. Talk about that. What is your draw length, first off?
25 and a half.
25 and a half. And what weight are you shooting on your ASA bow?
Around 49 or 50.
Okay. So with X Impacts, what kind of speeds are you able to get?
I think I'm shooting around 260 to 265, somewhere in there.
Okay. Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
But you're more, it's known distance, so you know exactly how far you got to shoot. So it's not, speed's not that big of an issue. Although when it's raining, it's nice to have a little faster arrow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that big of an issue because we know the distance, but I feel like it still gives me some benefit when I do have a faster bow, you know, makes it a little bit more forgiving and stuff like that. So,
yeah. PSE, we should mention, which bow are you shooting?
I'm shooting the Super X.
Okay, gotcha. Which length?
37.
37, okay. Yeah, so then, okay, so Friday happens. That's like just crazy, that weather we had. Then you go into Saturday, and were you leading after day one? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think Kenna and I were tied.
That's right.
But I had more 12s.
Yeah, that's right. It was you and Kenna. So then going into Saturday, what was your mindset? What were you thinking? Did you have a plan, or was it just shoot at every 12?
It wasn't shoot at every 12. I think I was just trying to, aim at the 12 so that I could see well and that I had a good aiming reference. And if it was dark or, you know, a long shot, I was just going to play it a little bit safer. Yeah, that was my game plan. But I guess going into day two, I really just wanted to do my best to keep it together and focus on making good shots and not do anything dumb was pretty much my plan.
Obviously you did keep it together, but to you, did it feel like you were keeping it together? Like, did you think you did what you needed to do?
I did okay on day two. I felt like I could have scored a little bit higher, but for the most part, I think I did pretty good.
And then what's that like then going into the shoot down as the leader? You've been in shoot downs before, but you go into this one as the leader. Does that put extra pressure on you? How did you feel about that?
Yeah, it definitely put extra pressure on me. I mean, every other time I've gone into a shootout, I went in like fourth or fifth, you know, so I was just like gunning for 12s and 14s to try to catch up. But this time I was like, well, I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation before. So I was kind of asking some people, you know, like, what do you do in this situation? And they're like, oh, well, you know, just shoot the way you did out on the course, like shoot for 12s when you can. And, you know, play it safe when you have to and stuff like that. So yeah, I did the best to just shoot like I did on the course.
Right. Morgan Reeves took second place. She came in and hit a couple of bonus rings. I'm sure that you were aware of that. Was that adding any pressure when you saw she caught you and tied you? Or were you still like, just do your thing, keep it cool?
No, yeah, I added some pressure. I wasn't really keeping it cool. when we were standing back there waiting for the sixth arrow, I was kind of panicking and I kept asking Darren, like, what do I need to do? Do I need to shoot a 14? What do I do? And he's like, no, you're just going to sit back here and watch and see what everyone else does. And then we'll decide. And then whenever like Morgan stepped up, I was like, I need a 12, don't I? I need to shoot a 12. And he's like, well, you don't know yet. She has to shoot her arrow. So he was doing a good job of keeping me calm, but I wasn't keeping my cool very well.
That's Darren Collins, we should mention, from PSE, longtime competitor out there. He shoots in, is he shooting senior known now or is he shooting senior pro? Senior known. He's in. I forget. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So what's that like then, you know, having somebody like that in there to keep you going down the right path?
Yeah. He was a big help. Keeping me calm and making sure that the umbrella was in the right spot and stuff like that, like talking me through it a little bit, making sure I was staying in the right mindset. It was really nice having him hold my umbrella for me.
Yeah. Do you have ASA targets at home or a club somewhere nearby where you can practice specifically on those targets?
No, I don't have any at home. There is an indoor range here in Albuquerque that has some of the targets, but I don't prefer to go shoot them inside because I can't really see like I can outside. I can't see the rings and I can't see my pin like I can outside. So it's not very good practice if I go practice them inside, but yeah, no, I don't have any targets of my own.
So what do you do like to prepare for an ASA, or are you just counting on the fact I just need to hit where I'm aiming? I got to hit behind the pin and I'm good.
Yeah. I count on that a lot. I honestly just practice like 50 meters like I would for a USAT. That's all I do to practice for any tournament pretty much. I feel like it helps me keep my form in check and keep my shot good. Shooting 50 meters is a good test of that.
Yeah.
But I also have one of those targets where it's just like the core type area.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? The one that Paige shoots and she calls it Freddy.
Yes.
I have one of those at home and sometimes I'll shoot at that, like when I'm getting my sight marks and stuff like that before I leave. So,
yeah. Is that so since 2020, we're now in 2024, like, do you feel like your ASA game has been progressing? How do you feel that progress has been over the last couple of years to get you to your first pro win?
Yeah, it's definitely been progressing. I mean, I'm obviously learned the targets better over the years and where to aim and how to aim at them and stuff like that, how to aim off of other arrows. But also I think overall my scores have improved a lot, where like a score that I'm not necessarily happy with now would have been a great score for me back then.
Gotcha.
And so that's improvement to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, okay. That was your first pro win in ASA. But as we've been talking about USA Archery 50 meters, that's kind of where I think of Cassidy Cox, because that you've been doing for a while, World Cups, USATs, all that. I think I saw you're in the New Mexico Sports Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool.
I didn't know that I was, but
you are.
I know that they nominated me a while ago, so that's cool.
Yes, you are in there. But you started at what age in like USA archery stuff?
I started at 14.
14
was my first USAT. Yeah.
And how did you there in New Mexico find archery? How did you get into that?
Well, I had been shooting. My dad taught me how to shoot when I was little. I was like six, and he was into it because he goes bow hunting, and my brother was in a Joad club. And so I was like, hey, that's cool. Like, I want to shoot too. And so they taught me how to shoot. And then I started the Joad club. And over the years, I always shot indoor nationals because we have one here in Albuquerque. So that was like the only tournament I shot, and maybe some other local ones. And then when I got a little bit older, I think I was like 12, I was started to shoot a little bit more. And some people from the shop told my dad that he should take me to Vegas. So he did. Wow. And I really liked it. And then I guess I went again the next year. And then Bob Romero, who is a like level five USA archery coach and coached world championships and world cups back in the day, was living in New Mexico. And he came to help out the Joad club at our shop. And he helped me out a little bit. And then told us like, hey, there's these USAT series and I think you should go shoot them. You'd do really well. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I went and signed up for one and did one that year in 2013. And then I think I did like most of them or as many as I could the next year to get a ranking as a cadet. And I did. I ended up first in the USAT rankings that next year. So that was super cool. And then it just took off from there.
Yeah. Yeah. You had quite a bit of success there. But first I want to talk about the shop. I'm assuming you're talking about Hit or Miss Archery Center.
I'm talking about the archery shop.
Oh,
in Albuquerque.
It's called the archery. There's, shop.
Yeah. So there's two ranges in Albuquerque. There's Hit or Miss. And then there's one called the archery shop.
Okay. And you shoot at both of them or you have shot at both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. So let me see here. I have three World Cup team gold medals, one silver World Archery Championships, Pan Am Championships, two bronze, two World Cup bronze medals, 2017 U.S. Open champ, and 2018 U.S. Target Nationals bronze. Just some of the ones. I'm sure there are others in there. But like I said, that's where, when I think of Cassidy Cox, I think 50 meters. Is that how you see yourself, or do you not like that? Or you want to be all around archer? What, how do you classify yourself?
I think that's how I've seen myself for a while, because that's pretty much all I did for a long time. But now I'm starting to see myself as more of a 3D shooter.
All right.
Starting to, yeah.
Yeah. You like that game?
I do, yeah.
You shoot Redding, correct?
Yeah, I've shot Redding for the past 3 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I like Redding a lot, too. I like the field game. I don't feel like I'm as good at it yet, but I'm trying to get better.
How do you shoot at 25 and a half inch draw length? How do you shoot Bigfoot 101 yards?
My method is different every year, but usually I have to push my scope all the way in close to my bow so I get enough clearance, and then I will move my sight all the way down, and then usually that's good enough for me. So last year I had to shoot a two-fletched arrow.
Gotcha.
But yeah. So that's pretty much what I have to do.
And you can, doing that setup, you can put your dot or your pin on the dot, the Bigfoot dot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can.
Gotcha. All right. So yeah, the USAT stuff. So we're actually here a week out of Arizona Cup, that type of competition. What is it that you like about that? The 50 meter game?
I like the challenge, obviously, but I like that you have to be consistent. Like you have to keep your form consistent. And I guess it's just a good test of endurance. And I mean, the wind is always tricky and there's wind at pretty much every 50 meter shoot you go to, but
yeah,
it's always keeps you on your toes and just keeps things interesting.
Do you think, obviously, yeah, the USATs, there's always wind. Do you think some of that helped you Saturday in the finals? You guys went out to that, to the finals, the shoot down range, and all of a sudden, bam, that wind was coming in off the Chattahoochee River. Do you think that helped you, your experience in the wind, or was it just like, oh man, this really sucks?
Yeah, I think it helped me. Helped me hold a little bit stronger in the wind and know like how much to aim off based on how my arrows fly.
Yeah. I forget, do you shoot a hinge or a thumb button?
I shoot a hinge.
You do shoot a hinge. Okay. So even in the wind, you're okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, if we're at a USAT and it's like super gusty, then I might switch to my thumb, but most of the time I'll just shoot a hinge.
Gotcha. Which one are you shooting? Which hinge?
The True Ball HT.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And so as you know, this women's known pro class that we just got that last year and some folks have been coming over. There are more ladies in it this year than there were last year. You coming from the target world, what would you say to somebody who is thinking about that, but they're worried like, you know, that's a whole different animal, literally. You know, I'm used to aiming at something I can see. Now I'm aiming at something I can't see. What would you say to somebody who's worried about that adjustment?
I think I would say that if you can hit what you're aiming at, then you're probably good. And I think it's just important to get used to the targets and, you know, recognizing where the 12 is based on the core line or based on, you know, the size of the animal and stuff like that, and get used to aiming based off of where other people's arrows are at also. And I think the most important thing for me is just getting a scope set up that helps me see the targets the way I need to.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's where I was going to go next, because I can't see anything no matter what I try. But what is your scope setup?
I'm shooting a 6-power lens from Clear Targets, and I have a center drill hole that's like a 15/1000 size, and then I just have a green fiber through that, and then I am shooting a Hamsky B clarifier in my peep, and yeah, that helps me see it pretty good.
Do you put any light on your fiber?
No, I don't. I have a lot of fiber and I wrap it around the scope.
Oh, gotcha.
So I've never had an issue seeing my fiber. Like it's never been too dark or anything like that. Sometimes if the sun is shining, then I'll get it to starburst a little bit, but usually an umbrella helps with that pretty good.
Okay. So 6-power Cassidy. And are you able to see most rings, or have you identified like, okay, I can see out to X distance. It depends on the target. What have you found with that setup that you can see, or can you see everything?
No, I can't see everything. A lot of times I can't really see the 12 ring, but sometimes I can see like, you know, the 10. And so I know where to go from there. And almost actually, I would say all of the time, unless it's like a black target in the shade, I can see the core line. And so that gives me a pretty good idea of where to aim.
Gotcha. That 6-power lens. Yeah. So you're saying you like this 3D. So last year, it was what you, Madison Cox, and Danelle Lutz won a team gold at one of the World Cups. And now here you are, you get your pro win at ASA. How do you compare those? Is one better than the other? Are they just different? Or to you, what, talk about the two of those.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that one is better than the other. I think they're just different and different accomplishments. I mean, when we won the team medal last year, we were shooting against Colombia, who is a really good team and has a lot of good shooters on their team. And so I think it was a big accomplishment for us to win that match.
Yeah.
And that was really exciting because I think it was the first, you know, team gold medal that our compound women team had won in a while.
Yes.
So like it was a big accomplishment, but obviously winning in ASA for the first time is also a big accomplishment. So I wouldn't say one is better than the other. I think they're just different.
Yeah. And so back home in New Mexico, did you have people watching? Like, were they watching at the archery shop, or what was that scene like while you were competing and everybody else was back home?
Yeah. Some of the people at the archery shop told me that they were watching on their TV that they have in there. So that was cool. But my parents were watching, and that was, you know, good to know that they were watching for me. And I don't know if any of my other family members were watching, but they obviously knew what happened. And so they were there to congratulate me after.
Yeah. Did your phone start going nuts as soon as you won, or did they give you a little time before they started calling?
I was getting a lot of texts and calls after.
Talk about this past week, what that's been like, because I imagine you're getting calls from different folks, you know, I'm sure PSE, some of the sponsors reaching out to you. Talk about what that's like the week after, and it's your first ASA Pro win. What happens? I don't know. I've never been there.
I'm getting, you know, congratulations, texts and stuff like that from people, which is nice to have everyone's support. For me, I am trying not to make it seem like it's leading me in a way that I need to do anything different. You know, I'm trying to stay focused and still get ready for Arizona Cup next week. So I'm not trying to let it distract me from getting ready for the next one, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as the congratulation texts and calls, I have been getting quite a few of those. And yeah, like I said, I love feeling everyone's support.
So you obviously flew to this tournament, I'm sure. What did you do with all the Happy Gilmore chicks? How do you get those back home?
Oh, I stuck them in my bow case and they fit pretty well in there.
Oh, you did? Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Do you have a place in your house where you keep those kind of things?
Not anywhere special, just like in my bedroom against the wall.
So for you, in all your archery accomplishments, where would you rank this, winning this tournament?
Pretty high on the list. I guess number one now. But I mean, I feel like there's a lot of other accomplishments that I would also have number one. So
for sure.
Yeah, just high on the list.
And now, how old are you? 26?
I'm 25.
25. Okay. And I believe you do something in the medical field. Is that correct?
No. Well, I have some degrees in psychology. And so right now I work at an elementary school.
Okay.
And I work as a behavior redirector.
Okay. And so that's, what is a behavior redirector? I don't know what that is.
I pretty much have to try to fix all the troubled kids is the way I describe it. But if any kid is having like behavioral issues, then the teacher will call me to the classroom and then I have to like talk to the kid and explain why he should act a different way and just kind of like literally redirect him, like help him refocus and stuff like that. And if it's something that is, you know, something I can't handle, then I'll send the kid to the counselor.
What age bracket are we talking about here? What level of schooling?
Kindergarten through fifth grade. So 5 to 11 year olds, I guess. Okay.
Gotcha. And now do these kids, do they know that you're a badass archer? Do they know about that?
No, most of them don't. Some of them that I talk to every day, like whenever I go out of town, they'll ask me, where are you going? What are you going for? So I'll tell them. But yeah, most of them don't really know that about me.
How does that mix? Like, how are you able to balance the job with your tournament archery?
The school is really good about giving me time off, and a lot of times they'll let me comp my time, so I'll work extra hours before I leave to try to make up for it. And that's really helpful that they let me do that. And they're just really supportive of me going to tournaments and always tell me to go make them proud, which is sweet. But yeah, I mean, it's only a part-time job right now. So I work 3 days a week. So I have, you know, weekends and Mondays and Fridays off to shoot as long as I want. And I mean, I get off on the days I do work at like 2:30. So I have the afternoon and evening to go shoot.
Yeah. So for you, what is archery? Do you view archery as a job? It's something you love to do, both. What is archery for you, and where do you see your future in archery?
It's definitely something I love to do. For me, I wouldn't say I want it to be a full-time job. I mean, obviously a source of income is nice to have it as that, and that's what I would like it to be, but I wouldn't see it as a full-time job, and that's not really what I want it to be for me. Just really like a passion and something I love to do and something I hope to keep doing for a long time.
Yeah. So now that you get like your first ASA win, is that like, do you see that as a mountain you've climbed, or is it now like, okay, I want another one?
Yeah. I feel like I want another one, and I want to keep doing good at these and keep making the podium and hopefully a few more wins too.
Have you gone and watched back the televised version of the match yet? The shootdown?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched it.
You haven't?
No, I mean, I've seen little clips here and there, but I haven't watched the whole thing.
You're like, I already know what happened. I don't need to watch it again.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, man. Was there any part of that experience that weekend that like was unexpected to you, that maybe was different than you thought, you know, whether it's shooting, qualifying, or in the finals or afterwards, people reception? Was there anything there that was different than you maybe thought it was going to be?
Do you mean like in the finals or in the tournament itself?
In the tournament itself, just something that was like, wow, that was different. I wasn't thinking it was going to be like that.
Well, honestly, I didn't really expect myself to shoot 18 up on a day that it was pouring rain. That was kind of a surprise to me. Like, I know I can shoot scores like that, but I didn't expect it to be like during a downpour, you know, so that was kind of a nice surprise.
What is that like when you see like you're having success, and there were obviously some very good archers out there who were not having success? What's that? Is that like a mind game at all, where you're thinking, man, I shouldn't be shooting this good? They're not, but I am.
No, I mean, I didn't really feel that way this weekend. I have definitely been in that mindset before, but I didn't really feel that way this weekend. I was trying to keep my head in it and stay pretty mentally strong the whole time.
And going back to the future for archery, yeah, what do you see, where do you see this going, or what would you like to accomplish? What are some goals out there that you have yet to achieve?
The way I see this going, I want to shoot ASAs. Like, I want to make that my game that I shoot like all the time. I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to keep shooting USATs, because I want to focus on this more. And with my job and everything now, I don't know that I have time to do both.
Gotcha.
So I want to make ASAs my full-time thing, but I'm still planning on doing some of the USATs this year. So obviously that's not like an immediate change.
Yeah. Are you doing any of the world archery stuff? Any of the overseas competitions?
Yeah, this year I am doing 2 World Cups that I know of right now. So I'm going to do the first one in China, which is at the end of April. That'll be during Minden, so I won't be at Minden. And then the next World Cup is in May. It's in Korea.
Oh, gotcha. So you won't be there to defend your title, defend your first ASA win.
I won't be at that one, but I'll be back at London.
So ASA, so you want to commit to that game. Does that include like getting the targets? Like, do you have a place, if you had targets, that you could set them up?
No, that's another issue, is that I don't really have the space to put the targets anywhere. So I'll definitely have to figure out that part of the plan. But
yeah,
I do want to get some targets eventually. I think that'll help me a lot.
Yeah, it seems like just being able to shoot them, well, and you know this, just the more you shoot them, like you said, the more you know where to shoot them, especially some of those, like that boar. I'll ask you, can you see that? And can you ever see that boar? I can never see that. I own that one and I can't see it.
Is that the black one?
The black one, not the one you shot in the shoot down, the other one.
Right. Yeah. No, I can never see that one. I just hope and pray that I don't have to go first on that target. And I mean, on the second day in Fort Benning, I did have to go first on that target. And I was like, well, this is just going to be a guess, so I'll be happy if I just keep it in the 8 ring, you know? And I somehow shot a 12 on it. So that was
no
a
kidding. Nice surprise.
But yeah, it was totally a guess and totally luck on that one every time I shoot it.
I don't know what it is about that one, but if I'm standing like 40 yards away, I'm like, okay, here's where I got to shoot. And then I walk up to it and my arrow's nowhere near where I thought it was. And I'm like, the vitals are not there. They're over here. That one always messes with me, and I can shoot it every day, but I still screw it up. Yeah. Do you have a least favorite target?
Yes. Coyote. I don't like that one.
Just because it's small, or is it difficult for you to see?
Mostly because it's small, but I don't know what it is about that one, but it just always freaks me out. Like, and a lot of times they'll put it out at 50 yards. And so then I just kind of panic a little bit even more after that. But I mean, I think I shoot it okay. I just don't like it.
So, Cassidy, would you join me in, I've told Josh Grine here, enough of the small targets. We want big targets. I want to see an elk. I want to see a caribou. I want to see buffalo. No more coyotes and wolverines. Bring back the big stuff.
It would be pretty cool to see those bigger animals out there. That would be fun. Yeah, I always have to remind myself that the 10 is the same size on all of them. So that brings me a little bit peace of mind. But yeah,
it's different, though. When it's the deer at 50 yards, I feel way more comfortable than when it's the wolverine at 50 yards. Even though, like you said, it's the same. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So getting ready for Arizona Cup, what's your prep like that for? Are you like somebody who has to shoot 500 arrows a day, or do you just kind of maintain? What's your practice strategy?
When I practice for a USAT, I try to go out and shoot at least 72 arrows, and I'll try to shoot a few more, but I want to shoot like at least as many as I'm going to be shooting on qualification day, which is like 90 arrows, including practice. So just so I know I have the strength to get through that. That's pretty much how I practice. I'll go out and do that, or try to do it every day. Lately, the weather hasn't been that good, so I haven't been able to shoot every day. But
That was the other thing I wanted to mention. I mentioned it when I spoke to you over the weekend, was it just struck me that here you are doing well in this Georgia pouring rain and you're from New Mexico where it's mostly desert. I don't know why. I just found that interesting that of all people, and same with Kyle Douglas, like you folks should not be the ones doing well in this, because I'm guessing you probably don't see rain like that too often.
Yeah, it doesn't rain like that. And I mean, if it does, I'm not going to go out and practice in it for sure. But yeah, no. We don't get too much rain here. We get some, but not, and we don't really get storms like that too often.
Did you feel mentally drained after Friday? I wasn't shooting and I did. I was like dead tired.
Yeah, I was mentally drained. I went back to the Airbnb and took a giant nap. I was so tired.
It was amazing just how, because like, you know, you're trying to think about all the things that you have to keep dry and things to worry about. And we're the same with our equipment and stuff like that. man, just afterwards, I was like, man, I'm tired. I know I slept good last night, but that's just draining.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very tired. I mean, like you said, keeping everything dry and then obviously the usual stuff I have to do, like ranging targets, setting my sight right, making sure I'm aiming right. And aiming, you know, playing it safe when I need to or whatever. And then another challenge I had was like trying to keep my hands dry because a lot of times when I would draw back, my release hand was slipping out of my release. So I was like trying to keep that dry, but I didn't really have any things left to dry my hands on because everything was wet. So
at some
that
point,
was a challenge too.
After 2.5 hours of it just absolutely pouring, kind of everything's wet.
Yeah.
Well, all right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Cassidy Cox, congratulations on the big win there down at Fort Moore, and we appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Folks, you can find the Competition Archery Media Podcast on all the platforms, wherever you find your favorite podcast. Thanks for joining us today.